Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
It is a Throwback Thursday 2001. The Dallas Cowboys at 2-4. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Bobby Belt joining us. He is the host of the Boys and Girl podcast on The Herd now, also NFL Network field producer. He is one of the best insiders that we have ever had on the Cowboys. This is why we go to him all the time when the Cowboys are in the news. How are you, my friend?
Hey there. How's it going?
All right. So the rumblings are already occurring through the rumor mill that there's some problems in the locker room and players calling out Mike McCarthy anonymously. Is there truth to this? What do you sense from the way this team has started the season?
I mean, I absolutely believe there's truth to guys are unhappy. I don't think, you know, Jane would have fabricated that. But I think that the question becomes, is it, you know, a couple of bad apples, or is it just, you know, one or two guys or whatever that decided that they were frustrated enough that they were ready to speak out, and that those are just the first ones that decided to speak out. But I think overall there's a level of frustration when you're 2-4 and you felt like you were on the cusp of something and you're now proven to be not as good as you thought you were. And so I think naturally it's a little bit to be expected. I think the long-term question for the Cowboys is this something that's just a temporary frustration that people are letting, you know, take over a little bit, take over their culture temporarily? Or is this a long-term concern? I think that's probably something that the Cowboys are wrestling with right now.
It may be more difficult because of COVID in terms of access to what's actually going on a day-to-day basis, but is the McCarthy regime dramatically different than what the players were used to under Jason Garrett?
I know the McCarthy regime is incredibly different just from our perspective on the media side. Because the access is much tighter than it would be with Jason Garrett, and not just because of COVID restrictions. Things are tighter in Dallas than a lot of places around the league during this COVID season. And I know that there's been we've heard talk about, you know, McCarthy instructed players not to respond to media members' texts and, you know, kind of wanted some shutout things. I think, honestly, a big part of that is McCarthy was used to running things a certain way in Green Bay. And you can probably get away with running things a little bit more privately there. And there's not really the same sort of spotlight. You can deal with things internally without, you know, 3-4 reporters trying to bang down your door and get the story. And I think there's still an adjustment there. And I think that when what we've seen at practice and the way things are done there, we see that's different for the players from their perspective. We've seen what's different from our perspective in terms of the way things are handled. I think there's definitely some strong differences here. And that may be contributing to part of it is, are they just going through, you know, their lumps, going through some growing pains and trying to adjust to this, and they're just having a hard time adjusting, or is this generally a long-term bad fit between these players and these coaches? And if it's a bad fit, then the question becomes, okay, who are you purging? Because this can't go on like that.
Wasn't that the risk in letting Garrett go? Because when you have a coach that just can't get you to the finish line, you're trying to find the coach that will, but you also risk going backwards in the race. You had a team that was always messing around with the playoffs, always messing around with the potential of the postseason. But if you bring in a new voice, sometimes you have to take 3 steps backwards. Sometimes you get to the finish line, but then sometimes you start from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about going ahead and bringing in a guy like McCarthy, who you wanted somebody who could push you over and take you where Garrett couldn't, where Garrett, I guess, had stalled out. But the interesting thing about going for a guy like McCarthy was the way he exited Green Bay and everything, the way things had fallen apart there and the culture issues that seemed to be bubbling up there. And I think a lot of people wrote it off to, well, that's just Aaron Rodgers is a difficult guy. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is tough to get along with, but you know, now you're seeing Aaron Rodgers is getting along good with Matt LaFleur,
yeah,
and things are going well for Green Bay, and you're seeing some issues cropping up here in Dallas again. And so, yeah, I think that there's a chance that the Cowboys, you know, may have erred here. It also could just be a bumpy patch. They've had a lot of injuries. They've lost a lot of guys, and a lot of guys are frustrated. And I think the Cowboys are hoping this is just a frustration that's built up, and everybody's just a little tense right now, and that eventually things are going to smooth over. But, I mean, they only interviewed one guy. And they interviewed Marvin Lewis, but that was not a legitimate interview, I don't think. I think that was a Rooney interview. But they interviewed Mike McCarthy, and then they hired Mike McCarthy. They didn't do a lot of vetting around everything else. And so, you know, you do got to kind of wonder if the Cowboys look at this now and go, did we make a mistake here? Did we rush into this one too quickly? Was this guy really the guy for the job?
Let's get to the main injury of Dak Prescott. From just a statistical standpoint, we know what that means. And from a leadership standpoint, we can get it. But give us a little insight into his relationship with his teammates, to what he means in the locker room, and how players reacted when they realized he was out and going to be out for a while.
I mean, I think it's a testament to what Dak Prescott means to the locker room that the first week that he's gone from that locker room, you heard stuff start leaking out. And I think that everybody gravitates to that guy so strongly, and they always have. That's why they didn't go back to Tony Romo. It wasn't because Dak was a better player than Tony Romo in 2016. It wasn't because of any other reason than a chemistry thing. And they looked at it as, no, this is a guy that the players have rallied around, and it might be deflating if we go back to Tony Romo at this point, even though he's potentially a better player. He's better equipped right now to run this team from, you know, an experience standpoint and his quarterback IQ and things like that. And those are all things Dak's improved upon, but at the time he was a rookie. But they valued more the way that he had the other guys playing free and buying in. And that's the thing, is that he's a guy that naturally everybody kind of believes in and gravitates towards, and he has this ability to rally the troops and get everybody to buy in and believe that they can do it. And that sounds kind of hokey, but it matters, because you see what happens right now when you can't get people to buy in, like Mike McCarthy's struggling to do right now. Things, you know, kind of spin out of control. And so, I mean, I think from a on-the-field standpoint, it's obvious what he can do. And he's become one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But he absolutely is. He's uniquely equipped to be quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys specifically. His leadership traits and everything like that, it is a prerequisite to have strong leadership traits generally whenever you're going to be quarterback anywhere. But especially when you've got the weight of the star and then the attention that comes with being a Cowboy. And he's always handled it incredibly well. And I think that's a big reason why, not just what he does on the field, I think that's a big reason why they are eventually going to just pay him and they have so much faith in him, is because they know that between the ears, he's got it.
That is a great point, because we talk about this sometimes where we say, look, there's playing for this team, but then there's playing for the Yankees, or there's playing for the Lakers, and the Cowboys are certainly on top of that list. Being a quarterback there is different than being a quarterback at any other position. And now I want to get to that question you kind of touched on. What does this mean for Dak Prescott and his future with the Cowboys in terms of getting that deal and getting signed?
I think the joke, it seemed to be on social media on Monday, was Dak Prescott's made more money like in the Monday Night Football game than he did when he was on the field.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to realize quickly, and I think they probably already are. Again, they just see how different do things look on the field, how different do things look in the locker room, how much is this, you know, shown how, you know, it's one of those like, you know, when somebody gets a near-death experience and then they talk about how it radically changed their life. Like, this is kind of a near-death experience for the Joneses. They can see how bad this injury was, and they can get a glimpse of, here's life without Dak Prescott for a little bit, and you really want to get cute with the contract now? Yeah. And I think that's something that I don't think there were doubts. I think there was some hardball negotiating, but if there were any doubts on their side, I think those have been alleviated. I think from what they saw, the way he played early in the season, and now they see how things look when he's out of there, I think they're going to get it done.
All right, let's get to the defensive side. Who or what is missing from the Cowboys' defense?
I think they're missing a big thing for them. They're missing leadership, but I think it's also just some good players on that side of the ball. There are some individually talented players. There's also some areas where they're not very talented, and they've been decimated by injuries on that side as well. But I think overall they're just a bad fit with each other. And, I mean, this is a historically bad defense now. They've given up 34 points or more in five straight games now. That ties an NFL record. They are about as bad as you can be, and I think that it's a big combination of this defense isn't as talented as they thought it was. They're not getting the pass rush that they thought they could. You're getting some low IQ, high school level mistakes and misunderstandings about assignments. And a lot of that falls on the players, but a lot of that falls on Mike Nolan and the defensive coaches and, you know, bringing it all full circle to some of the chatter about, you know, maybe some discontent with coaches. I think there's some frustration with the defensive coaching staff. And so, I mean, I think it's multi-layered, but I think there are probably four or five different reasons or factors contributing to why they're so bad. And it's created this perfect storm of just a really terrible defense. And, you know, it's the Giants had 48 points through 4 weeks coming into that game against the Cowboys, and then they scored 34 in one game. And I think that as much as people think Washington struggled, Washington can, I'd be stunned if they didn't put up at least 30 points. Mm. And so, I mean, you've got, as bad as this division is, on the road against Washington, then you're on the road against the Eagles, then you're back home for Pittsburgh. I mean, it very quickly could get to 2-7.
Yeah, sure.
And you're a 2-7 record, and you're looking at, you know, even as bad as the NFC East is, that you're getting out of the race, and you're looking at a top five pick.
Bobby, I mean this. You cover this team. You know this team more than anybody I talk to on all the other teams around the league, and I really appreciate your insight. Whenever we need Cowboy stuff, you deliver, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks. Appreciate you.
You got it. Bobby Belt, the Boys and Girl podcast on the Herd Now, and also NFL Network field producer, and he is one of the best at knowing his team. He knows the Cowboys. That's why we love having them on. It's fantastic. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. All right, speaking of the Cowboys, maybe you're a Cowboys fan and you're looking for that ultimate gift this holiday season, or to give an ultimate gift this holiday season. Well, we direct you to homefields.com. Fantastic three-dimensional stadium works of art. It's hard to describe how interesting these pieces are. You got to really take a look for them at homefields.com, but they're blocks that kind of have a three-dimensional layer to them, and when they're lit up, you really get a stadium and arena look that is second to none. They are beautiful, great for the office, great for the mantle, great for the man cave, and they come, there's all sorts of arenas, all sorts of stadiums to choose from. Some stadiums from the past, stadiums that are right now, that may be some of your favorites. Go to homefields.com. Ken Small has done a fantastic job with them. I have the old Three Rivers Stadium. It looks great. Ron has Dodger Stadium on the mantle getting ready for the World Series. They look fantastic. Go to homefields.com and check them out. 160 stadiums in Orlando to choose from. You will find the one that's right for you.